What up? Welcome to episode 24 of the Dealer Talk podcast. So when it comes to marketing strategies, where are you seeing most of your results? Is it perhaps still through traditional forms of advertisement, or is digital where most of your conversion is coming from? And also, are you looking at the front of the house only, or is service a part of your strategy? In today's conversation, we have a great guest, somebody that's been in the industry for a while, founder of several companies geared towards not just driving traffic to the dealership, but building strategies that truly deliver. Definitely want to make sure that you check out this episode, especially if you're a decision maker at a dealership. There's going to be tons and tons of insights on this deal. If you haven't done so already, please make sure to share this episode, share this podcast with somebody that can benefit from the practical information that our guests are bringing so that they can take it back to their dealership and implement in their day-to-day. All right, without further ado, let's go on to the episode. Let's check it out. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Dealer Talk. So we have a great conversation today. I'm very excited to get things rolling. Let me start off by saying hello to Eric. What's going on, dude? How are you, man?
Oh, brother, man. Excited. Listen, you know it's 2019, right? Which feels very awkward to say 2019. Yeah, I'm pretty excited, fired up. Let's get it on, Herbalicious. Let's go.
Right on, man. So, you know, I'm excited for today because the guest is somebody that we've been trying to get on the show. And, you know, there's been scheduling conflicts and just hasn't really worked out. And we finally have him on here. So I'm very excited to have this conversation. Before we get into that, though, I wanted to kind of pick your brain a little bit, Eric. Set up the conversation here. But so marketing, right? We've had a couple episodes this season kind of surrounding that. We've had some conversations about new technology. For 2019, right? What are your focuses on as far as marketing? Are you guys looking at fixed ops? Are you looking at increasing sales? Like, talk to me about that a little bit, man.
Okay, so listen, your question is for marketing. What is our focus? What are we going to be doing for 2019? Is that your question?
Yeah, as a new year begins, right? Like, what what's kind of your strategy? What are you guys looking at to increase and obviously utilizing marketing channels to do that?
Just creating more content. I'll be honest with you. I just want to make it more. Our dealership more relevant to folks who are in our market. My whole focus is to create more and more and more and more content, talking solely about the dealership, different departments, people in the department, so they're not a mystery. My goal is, quite frankly, is to have TC, who's in service for us. He's one of our service writers. He's actually the guy that runs the show. I want him to be able to walk around town and somebody bump into him and go, "Oh my gosh, I saw you on YouTube, or I saw you on, you know, LinkedIn or something." I just want this guy to be known. That's my goal. So that's, look, man, it's going to work out. I'm excited for him and for me, really. So let's go.
Yeah. So, you know, the guest for today is it's funny because before we kind of got on, you know, started recording here, I kind of made the joke is that, you know, he seems to be like a serial, you know, founder of companies, right? Because he has a resume of all these companies that he started within the industry. So, yeah, I just, you know, I think that we're gonna have a great opportunity today to have that conversation on marketing and get some really, really valuable insights. So let's just dive right into it. Without further ado, let me introduce the guest for today, Mr. Owen Moon. What's going on, Owen? How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me today. Happy New Year. Happy 2019, as you said.
Yeah, man, we're super fired up, you know, so we're very excited to have you on. I know we've been trying to get this deal together for a minute, so I'm glad that it all worked out for today, man.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the last 3 weeks of December were absolutely crazy, and so I appreciate you guys being patient with me. But I'm excited to have this have discussion with you guys.
Right on, man. So before we kind of dive into the conversation, can you just give us a little bit of a recap for the listeners?
Yeah, just as far as my background.
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no worries. I'll keep it real short. You know, I'm one of the, I guess you could say, vets of the industry. I've been in this industry since 2000, so going into my 19th year. And, you know, of course, back when we started, the last thing we ever thought about was internet, and actually cut my teeth setting up subprime departments across the country. So spent a lot of time in the first 2 years in stores, working with the sales team, working with the finance team, you know, working with the management on what types of vehicles to buy and, you know, what banks and things like that. And so it gave me a real, a good foundation to know what actually is going on in the stores and sort of how the inner workings of a dealership work. Cause you know, I didn't sell cars, that wasn't my path. Came out of college with a marketing degree and, you know, fell into an agency that had 100% automotive. And I said, this is something I can get, wrap my arms around and really, you know, dive in and become a student. And, you know, of course, 18 years later, you know, now we're into so many different strategies, digitally. And, one of the things I find myself doing a lot though, is looking back to those early days and sort of seeing how some of the new stuff, you know, kind of relates to things that maybe we did years ago before the internet became such a huge, piece of the dealership's strategy. So it's given me a good foundation. It's given me a great way to sort of think differently. You know, I get a lot of, you know, dealers that talk to me and say they had a guy come in, talk to him, or a gal come in, talk to him that, you know, been in the market, you know, been in the business for, you know, 30 days. And that person knows nothing about really what's going on other than they've got a product and they were told to go sell it to so-and-so. So it just makes for a better experience for my clients anyways, because of my background, I guess.
Right on, man. Yeah. No, I totally dig that. Hey, so do you, I just want to make sure I get this straight before I set up the conversation. So you have two companies now, one for fixed ops and one for automotive marketing. Is that correct?
Yeah. So Dealer Accelerator has been my sales driven, you know, agency. We're a full stack agency. We help dealerships from, you know, traditional all the way to digital and social, you know, whatever level they need help. Sometimes it's the entire full service gamut. Sometimes it's very product driven. It's strategy driven, that type of thing. But yeah, about this time last year, actually, it's kind of funny. One of my partners, business partner of mine, Kevin Coleman, and I sat down and said, hey, what can we do to really kind of get out in front of this service marketing or fixed ops marketing idea, because there was a lot of talk about it. I had a lot of dealerships asking me, do we have anything? Because, you know, the normal stuff is, you know, you do those quarterly mailers and, you know, you're going to see somewhat of a response, but it's slowly been working, you know, less and less. And, you know, the expense is there because you have to print mailers and you have to mail them and that type of thing. So we came up with a few solid ideas on how to, you know, create more of an online foundation and that sort of thing. And then the middle of the year, actually, we ran into a company out of San Antonio. They were based out of San Antonio that was doing some SEO work for dealerships down in that region for fixed ops. And so Kevin and I flew down there. We spent a 3-4 days in locked door meetings with them, and we came out as business partners. And it's been an awesome. Awesome run here. The last 6 months of the year, we went to several conferences just to sort of get our name out there and kind of show people what we're doing, and had a big booth at Digital Dealer in Vegas. I spoke with one of our clients about, you know, sort of what we're doing and kind of the strategies around it. And the overwhelming, I guess, you know, success or maybe the word I'm looking for is just people embracing what we're doing has been astronomical. I would never have expected it. And I mean, we're getting calls from OEMs. We've got several OEMs that have already sort of jumped in and said, hey, we want to, you know, help you guys get us into some of our stores and become a bigger part of what we're doing from a fix ops end. And it's so funny because the industry is changing so fast. I mean, we actually have our first fixed ops marketing director that we're working with. That's part of a 7-store group here in the Midwest. You know, 2 years ago, you would never have seen that. I mean, you would have never said, hey, I've got a marketing director that's only focusing on fixed ops marketing. And so it was very timely. And but, you know, we know other people are going to start coming into the space. And you know, so we're just happy to be, you know, sort of a year ahead of everybody. And we're excited for what 2019 is going to bring us.
Right on, man. Yeah. So I suspect that during this conversation, you know, we're going to take you, we're going to get your 50,000 view, and we're also going to bring it back down to, you know, a more micro type of conversation. But I wanted to start with a 50,000 view, right? Because it's a new year for all the decision makers out there listening and tuning in. What, as far as 2019, best holistic strategy, what does it comprise in your opinion? You know, is it more mixed towards retention and service, or is it more mixed towards acquisition of new customers? What do you guys think?
Well, it's a great question. One of my clients said it best. And so I will definitely go on record right now and say that it wasn't my statement, but he said, it's getting so expensive. And if you have multiple stores in the market, you know, if there's multiple Chevy stores, multiple Honda stores, where you're competing against other stores with your same brand, it's getting so expensive. And we use the house theory here, you know, the mentality of, hey, if you're coming through the front door for sales, what's that costing you when you look at like paid search, when you look at different strategies? And it's becoming more and more expensive to come in through the front door because of the competition. More and more people are embracing digital, and you know, just it's always one of those situations where the more people get into something, it gets more expensive. So he actually said this one day, it was about 6 months ago as we were talking, he said, you know, it's so much cheaper right now to bring people in through the side door during service, show them a good experience on service, show them, you know, have them introduced to the dealer. If they didn't buy a car from you, if they did, it's your chance to sort of, you know, solidify that relationship. And then from there, you bring them back in for your second, your third vehicle purchase, you know, that type of thing. So I think if you look at a 50,000 foot view, I think just the focus is changing. More and more people are moving money to digital for fix ops, giving them that, you know, that solid online foundation. So instead of coming into the market once a quarter, dropping a bunch of mailers and getting a one or, you know, half a percent or a 1% response, we're building a foundation for dealers. And the ones that are jumping on early are already seeing, you know, the success. The ones that are obviously, you know, they always have the ones that are sort of late to the market. In this case, I'm not sure that's going to be something that they're going to recover from, because at the end of the day, you know, if you can create more, you know, you said something about content at the beginning of this, it's really what it's all about. The more content you can get online for the different services and different offers that you can, you know, provide that customer through the service department, the better your chance of earning that business. And so I think that's really the big thing, is just the focus, is just really what are we going to do from a fix ops perspective to do something different this year. And we're just we're excited to help dealers and be that you know, be that resource for them.
You know, Owen, that your thinking is exactly so in line with my own. I have a couple different questions here. I'm just gonna throw a bunch of things at you and we're gonna wait for the response. So do you think that maybe customers that are having access to content, do you think it's too much of the sales driven side? Do you think the dealerships should be focusing more on the service side in order to gain those clients? And then what if listen, what are the different approaches we can do with, what are some of the best ways we can promote our service for a dealership? What is your approach on that? What's your thinking on that?
Well, it's funny you say that, because one of the things that we talk about all the time and really focus on when you go to a site is how much of the dealership's website is so sales focused, and rightfully so, right? I mean, that's where you've got your search result pages, your vehicle detail pages. You know, it's sort of a feed driven, you know, type of mentality. And of course, you know, the almighty dealer, the dealer's looking for the almighty customer. That's always been the car business. That's always going to be the car business. But at the end of the day, the backside of the dealership, the service and, you know, collision parts, that's really the revenue driver for the dealer. So it's funny that there's so much attention on sales, and I maybe because they get a lot of pressure from the OEMs and stuff like that. I totally can see that. But yeah, that is definitely something that we are are definitely emphasizing to dealers day in and day out is the need to put more content online. And it really starts at your service specials page. We did a big analysis early and looked at, you know, hundreds of dealership sites, and it was an overwhelming theme. You know, no specials available today. Here's a, you know, $10 off an oil change, or here's $100 off a battery replacement. You know, they were just sort of random, kind of one of those, hey, we need to get a few things up there so it's not a blank page type of approach. And then we looked at the Pep Boys and the Jiffy Lubes and, you know, Valvoline's and all the independents. And all they have online is service content, and they've got their service menu boards, and, you know, they're just constantly putting that pricing and we call it transparency in front of the customer, and they're winning. And so whenever the warranty comes up, or, you know, like Honda, I think has 2-year, 24,000 mile, maintenance included when you buy a new car. Well, once that's up, the customers are fleeing. They're like, hey, we're out of here. We're going someplace where we can pull in and get an oil change, and, you know, and we know what we're going to pay, and it's just convenient, and, you know, that type of thing. So content does two things. First of all, it gives the customer the information today, but it's also something that it can give the customer the information for tomorrow when they're looking for it. And I think that really comes into what we call in the industry call to actions, right? You go into a website, and a lot of times it's like, you know, email a friend, or, you know, request more info, or, you know, the almighty print the coupon. You know, 60%+ of all service traffic right now is mobile. You know, nobody's printing coupons anymore. So what we've done is sort of fine tune that, I guess, or, you know, streamline that to be, hey, you can schedule service with us, or you can save this coupon to your phone using like Apple Wallet and Android Wallet technology. So it just gives them, the customer, the right methods to be able to communicate with the dealer, you know, now and then down the road as well. Because if I'm not ready to get a service done, but the chances of me going back to that dealership's website is pretty slim. Maybe I don't even know how I got there in the first place, but I turn around and I download a coupon right into my Apple Wallet. It has all my, you know, airline passes, my movie passes, you know, it's all that stuff. Well, now I've got it sitting there, and, you know, the nice thing about that is that I can geofence and do push notifications using that technology. So all of a sudden the guy shows up at another dealership or a Pep Boys, and we're geofencing them. They can pop in and with a little notification that says, hey, remember, you've got this service over at our dealership. And, you know, and the value proposition for the dealer's always been, you know, the better parts, quality, you know, factory parts, and you know, a better technician, right? A certified technician, better equipment, a better a better experience all around, just with, you know, customer lounges and things like that. It's, you know, usually go to the independents, and it's a, you know, a little dirtier. It's just, you know, older. You know, I sit in a ripped up chair and smell oil all day. It's not a lot of fun. So, you know, we just have to kind of do a better job of showing the customer the experience that they can get. And it also starts at the sales level. I mean, I was just on a program a couple weeks ago, it was about a month ago actually, where we talked about how salespeople can use the service department to, you know, become a better, to make it more effective in the sales process. And so I think it kind of goes both ways on that as well.
So let me ask you this. So when you're talking about these coupons, then, so my question to you, because I mean, these coupons are basically derived in order to create traffic. So do you believe in expiration dates then too?
You know, we don't believe in expiration dates. What we believe in is if we need to change, like, let's say you have a instead of doing $10 off an oil change, we'll promote an oil change at say $39.99. If somebody comes in and says, hey, I want to drop that $10, let's change the price. We go into both the website and to our software to change the price, and it automatically will send a notification to those customers that have that coupon downloaded that there's been a price change. So it actually gives us a little bit of that, you know, offensive approach that if, hey, we're kind of slow and we need more oil changes, not that most dealerships do, but let's just use that as an example. I think that's where that's where this is a better technology and a, just a better approach to it, because you don't know who's printing your coupons unless they show up. And let's be honest, you know, I look at the CMSs of a lot of dealership sites, and you know, you might have three printed coupons in a quarter. I mean, it just, it's an irrelevant, yeah. So we just try to stay ahead of the game a little bit in terms of like how the customers can utilize and really what's going on, you know, from a, you know, from an industry standpoint, and just try to provide better, you know, better, solutions and, you know, suggestions to our dealers, and some of them like it and some of them don't. So it's just, you know, it is what it is at this point. But
so your approach then, if you don't mind me asking, is you, for service specifically, you believe more offense, is that correct? You believe more in notifications and constant reminders. Just is that the correct approach?
Yeah, if dealerships are, I mean, if customers are downloading those passes, then yeah, we want to make sure that, you know, we hit them at the specific times. I mean, it isn't something where we want to, you know, hit them with 15 notifications in a week because they kept driving by the local Valvoline. But if they actually go into the parking lot, you know, this geofencing can get pretty granular in that aspect. I think the other thing though that we've noticed is that people are online searching for different services, and what they're not finding is the dealership. And so when we start building out SEO content, when we start building out, you know, pages for batteries and oil change and, you know, rear differentials and things like that, there's people out there looking for these services. And when we get our pages, you know, to eventually rank, because this is an organic approach when you start talking about SEO, obviously, it turns around and it creates an environment where you instantly are driving more people into your website through the service side of the customer, you know, journey. But the nice thing about that is once we build out those pages as well, now all of a sudden we can use it for SEM, you know, paid search, Facebook, email marketing. You know, we can even take the links that we create of these different pages and use them in your CRM. You know, if you have a service BDC and you want, you know, we're actually talking to a chat company right now about integrating our dealer wallet product into their platform. So when somebody is on a chat, let's say on a service side, and they're like, hey, do you guys have any specials on brakes? I need to get my brakes fixed. They could drop that Apple Wallet pass right into the chat provider window, and that guy can just download it right to their phone from the chat. So a lot of different applications. I think the list can go on and on, but that's where, you know, we're building the foundation first, and we thought it would take a lot longer to get into the digital marketing side. But as we've continued to show the progress and the visibility that we're getting the dealers from an organic standpoint, more and more of them are saying, okay, I want to do some paid search. I want to do some Facebook. You know, I want to do a bad, like I'm up here in the Midwest, and you know, it's nice the last couple of days, but it's been in the, you know, -2, -3. I mean, it's not nice, and people's batteries aren't starting. What a perfect time to promote a battery special on Facebook and go after people that are looking to, you know, change their batteries out. So, and, you know, cause what do they do now? They're going to the, you know, O'Reilly Auto Parts and, you know, Pep, I don't know, there's other ones, but you know, there's all kinds of independent, you know, part stores. You know, we want to try to get them to the dealership, obviously.
Right on, man. So let's talk about customer acquisition, right? Because I'm in the fixed op side of the business as well. And this is a conversation that I have with a lot of my clients on a regular basis. And that's, you know, there's so much focus on getting customers through the front of the house, which to me makes no sense because it's so expensive. It's not that you shouldn't do it, but man, it's got to be balanced better, you know, in the industry as a whole, because you have a bunch of customers in your fixed operations, right? And then the service side of the business that already said yes to you, they've already purchased from you, they're coming to you for service. And I just don't see a lot of engagement that way. So what are your thoughts on that? I mean, do you think that, you know, there's some opportunities in 2019 for dealerships to kind of, I don't want to say completely go that direction, but maybe balance the scale a little bit and focus on getting customers from their service activity. Obviously for sales,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you know, I always go back to stats because stats kind of tell the story. And one of the things that I saw on a recent study that was done by a pretty large group was that about 30% of all service visits are conducted at the dealership, which means that 70% they're going somewhere else, right? They're going to the independent franchise or maybe the guy down the street that, you know, has one bay shop and he's kind of a grease monkey and, you know, and all that stuff, which is great. That's a good business. You know, it's a good living for a guy that does that, but that's, you know, that's the challenge, right? 70% of people. The other cool thing is it's only 17% of those people are going to the dealership where they purchased the vehicle. 13% isn't the other dealership. And then, the other, you know, 14% goes to like a quick lube and then 25% to general repair. So that was kind of the numbers that I was looking at. And that said a lot to me because then when you get down to why people are leaving, it's right after the warranty's done. So I think what needs to happen, and I don't know if there's a real great solution out there for this and it's something that definitely is an opportunity, it's what can you do during that warranty standpoint, like that 2 years or 4 years that you have a warranty with that dealer with that for that vehicle, what can they do at that point to really solidify the relationship? And I think it starts at the sales level. I mean, there's a lot of times, you know, I tell people like, look, instead of having those, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Customer sitting at the table waiting for finance to bring, you know, to bring them in to sign all the paperwork and stuff. And, you know, what are they doing while they're sitting there? They're shopping around, making sure they got a good deal. They're, you know, they're second guessing themselves. Do we really want to buy a new car today? You know, that sort of thing. I would much rather as a sales guy say, hey, look, you know, it's going to take a few minutes to get those finance docs together. You know, let me go ahead and show you the rest of the family. You know, let's go back and introduce you to the cashier, show you where you're going to park when you come get your oil changed, maybe introduce you to the fix ops director, you know, really make that person believe or, you know, not believe, but just make that person understand that it's not just this, the customer that you're buying the car from, it's the entire dealership. And because if they go back and get introduced to the service department, the study said that they're 2 times more likely to go into the dealership for service in the first 12 months. So it's a huge advantage to the guys that are doing it. So really, where's the opportunity? It's don't be asleep at the wheel if you're a dealer owner or a, you know, general manager or somebody that needs to, you know, sort of create those processes for your sales staff, make it a part of what they do every day, and you'll see the results on the backside.
So Owen, with your background as unique as it is to our industry, what is your number one? I'm talking the best of the best, the pinnacle, bro. What is your number one piece of advice for the brand new salesperson showing up to a dealership going, oh my gosh, now what? What would you suggest? What would you advise?
That's a great question. You know, I think kind of piggyback into maybe some of the things I just was sort of mentioning, but it really ties more into the technology. Find out what technology that the dealership currently has and become the master at using it. You know, if you have a equity mining tool, if you, you know, if you have a review software, you know, these are all things that the dealer spends money on. And, you know, it's funny, I find myself holding dealers accountable to use it more than maybe the owner or the sales managers. And I hate it because I'm like, I love it, but I hate it because it's like, this isn't really my job. But, you know, I notice all of a sudden that there hasn't been a lot of reviews coming through my email because I get copied on all of them, you know, and then it's like, hey, you know, are you using this thing? Oh no, we got to do a better job. We probably should have sit down and have a call, you know, conversation with all of our reps, our sales, you know, team again. And then all of a sudden for like two months, you'll see it just instantly grow again. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's you know, getting those reviews is a huge piece of, you know, the new customer that's coming in and looking. So just using the technology, trying to figure out what exactly the technology is that they have, and then how can they use that technology personally to be successful in sales? Because I think a lot of times what ends up happening is a vendor will come in and look at things on a global level, right? So using this review software idea, hey, you can set every one of your dealerships, your sales guys up with it and they can use it. But then it just kind of stops there, right? So to actually show a new person, hey, this is our review software. This is how it works. This is the reason behind it. And whether that's, hey, call the guy at the you know, the company that you're purchasing that technology from and let them do the 10-minute overview or somebody at the dealership doing it. That's kind of the, you know, that would be my biggest takeaway for a new salesperson is just learn your technology and figure out how you can use it to help you be successful in the business.
So what about, going back to the decision makers, right? What about attribution? Where do you see that progressing in 2019, in particular on the digital side, right? Things like you talked about SEO and you know, things of that nature, Facebook, and the reason I wanted to bring this question up is because I'm a big proponent of Facebook. I think dealers are not utilizing it enough. I think the cost is, you're not going to get exposure for any cheaper. And you can reach people specifically. So I think the targeted aspect of it is just adds more to the value. But the attribution seems to always fall into conversations of, I get a lot of clicks and I see a lot of movement, but, you know, is that really translating into sales? So what are your guys' thoughts on that? And where do you suggest decision makers, kind of look at attribution in particular for digital in 2019?
You know, attribution is always the hardest thing because obviously if you drive a lead through the source, I mean, that's the goal, right? That's where you're like, hey, that lead came from here, you know, that type of thing. I'm a little bit different maybe in my thought process because of the years that there wasn't digital, that you still got to have a good media mix. I think I come into a lot of situations where I talk to a dealer, they show me what they're currently spending. And 90% of people, when I talk to them or, you know, look at their budgets, they're so heavy on third-party websites. You know, the inventory listing sites and what have you. And I think what happens is they just fall in love with them because they've been using them so long. They were kind of the first digital thing that was out there. And for the longest time, it drove them a lot of leads and a lot of sales. And so what happens is you end up seeing, you know, out of an entire digital budget, you're seeing 60%, 70% of their budget going towards, different inventory listing sites. The problem with that is that I feel like if it's a customer that is out there searching third-party sites, they probably are searching two or three of them. That's kind of the way they shop. And so I think you got to look at how many car sales you can attribute to those and what you're spending and what your closing ratios are. And the ones that aren't necessarily performing to your expectations, whatever that is for the dealer, let's move into some other areas because there's a lot of ways to reach customers these days. And in some ways it's almost too segmented. But I can tell you that just from my own experiences that if you keep, you know, pounding on the same door, you're only going to get the same results. So we really look at media mix. We look at trends, you know, month over month, year over year in terms of traffic. But attribution to me is not nearly as, I don't say it's not as important because it is important, but it's so tough to really, I think, you know, give 100% attribution to a sale these days. I mean, most of the stuff's going to come through the website and it's going to look like the website sold it, but I don't know any websites that are out there just selling cars from dealers. I mean, we're bringing traffic in on some level. The website's just doing a good job of capturing information or getting someone to, you know, drop a lead or do a text message or a chat or what have you. The website's always going to get kind of like in football, right? The quarterback always gets a lot of the credit. The website's going to get a lot of the credit. I mean, but at the end of the day, it's what are you doing to drive people into the website that really, I think, tells the whole story. So just looking at your data, I think, is important, but maybe not overanalyzing. That might be the only thing I can really say, is don't overanalyze it to the point where you cripple yourself, because a lot of the old school car guys are still like, hey, I didn't see a guy walk in with the newspaper or with the direct mail campaign, so it didn't work. But you know, you shut everything off and then see how many people actually start coming in through the door or selling, you know, or calling the dealership, and you'll get your answer really.
Hey, Owen, this is a perfect segue. I want you to give me like a 5-minute spot on exactly what your two companies do. If you don't mind, I'd love for our community to know exactly what is it you provide dealerships.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'll start with Dealer Accelerator, and I'll keep that kind of brief. You know, basically what I do with Dealer Accelerator on a big level is just really help dealerships with all their marketing. You know, full stack marketing agency. You know, we'll put together strategies, traditional, digital, social, and then execute those strategies for the dealer. Really, the other thing I do with that is consult. I mean, a lot of consulting goes into, hey, what types of, have you ever heard of this company? You know, when you were at Digital Dealer, what'd you come up with for, you know, this type of product? Have you seen anything out there for this? You know, just to really be a sounding board for dealers that, you know, they're stuck in the walls every day or inside the walls every day. They don't necessarily see all the things that are out there except for people trying to knock down their phone to call them. And, you know, to have a resource that can say, hey, these are what I'd recommend. You know, that type of thing, I think goes a long way. So that's kind of what I do on the Dealer Accelerator side. From a Fixed Ops perspective, Fixed Ops Digital is really, we call ourselves a automotive service solutions company. And the reason why is because we're providing that foundation for our dealers online when it comes to service marketing, parts marketing, collision, tires, whatever it is on that side of the business, usually it's the neglected side. We have a solution that when a dealer comes on and signs up with Fixed Ops Digital, they get sort of that over encompassing program. We help them kind of finalize their website when it comes to, you know, services and specials. We call it a service menu page because we want to be more transparent and not only have a handful of services, but, you know, 12 to 15 of their most common services. And then, really from a foundational level, we just build content. My staff is really good at building unique service related content when it relates to the dealership, what type of brand they have, what kind of service and what market they're in. And we do offer market exclusivity in that as well. So that's one of the nice things about it is that, you know, if you're a Chevy store in Kansas City, we're only going to work with one Chevy store. And the reason why is it's so hard to write content for multiple stores and really keep it unique. And you know, then you're at the point of like, you know, you're out trying to outrank yourself basically. And so we just provided an exclusive environment for our dealer clients. And we're in about 170 stores right now with that product in only a year. And I really see that being a huge growth for us in 2019 is the Fixed Ops side.
Awesome, man. Hey, it's been amazing, amazing conversation, dude. I really feel like we can go for another 2 hours here.
I love it. So thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
No, yeah, man. Thank you. We definitely have to make a part two of this deal because a lot of good information. Before we kind of wrap it up and you know, tell the audience how they can get in touch with you, there's always one question I ask everybody that comes on the show, and that's, where do you see the automotive industry headed in the next 5 years and why?
So do you want me to be like this off the wall answer or kind of more conservative? What are your thoughts?
We want you to be you.
Okay.
Be you, man. Whatever, however you see it.
I'll tell you what, and I've said this for a while and it's so out there but let me just tell you this. If I was a dealership, I would strive to be more like the Apple Store or Best Buy, where I can, you know, you can have a customer come in and get an experience. And it could be done through virtual reality. You know, could be done through, hey, I got a Jeep store. I've got a Jeep lot, track in the back. You can go drive these things. I would make it fun. I would make it, you know, videos and things like that. So when a customer comes in, their guard is down. They don't have to feel like they're going to get beat up from a sales guy, you know, that type of thing. So if that would be the perfect scenario for the industry, I would embrace it. I think it'd be great for the customer journey. And, you know, if that doesn't happen, I really could see the OEMs getting more involved in the new car side, just saying, hey, look, we're going to handle the new car, you know, because we want to kind of sell it like Best Buy does or like Apple does, where they sell the same thing, whichever, wherever you go, you get the same experience. And we're going to help you guys that really take that over for you. In that case, though, the dealership really, you know, there are two things they can control at that point are used cars and service. And so, you know, a lot of this conversation has been about fixed ops and service. And I know dealerships that are still going, eh, I don't need it. And here's how they base it. I've got way too many oil changes right now. I don't need to worry about service. Well, that's not what we're about. I mean, we don't want to just provide another 100 oil changes a month for our dealers. You know, we want to get into warranties. We want to get into recall. We want to get into the higher dollar amounts that you know, obviously the higher ROs that make the dealership more money. So, that's my short answer, I guess. I would love to see the dealership become more of an experience. Obviously, that's a little more expensive because you got to invest in technology and put a plan together. But how cool would that be to go into a dealership, though? And if you want to test drive a Jeep, you just go on the back and use their dirt track that, you know, has hills. And yeah, you know, because we see this stuff at the auto shows, right? I mean, I go to the Denver Auto Show every year when I'm out at the Innovative Dealer Summit, and get in there and they drive us around these tracks. You know, it's an interesting thought process anyways.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I love that you touched on experience because, and I've said this on many episodes in the past, and I actually, you know, as we were doing promos for season two, I was talking about this as well, but, you know, we talk a lot about an experience in the automotive industry. I feel like that's become sort of a buzzword, right, within automotive. And I just feel like we just say that and we talk a lot about it, but nobody's really executing on the specifics of it, right? Because, and the reason I say that is because I see so many dealers and they're all doing it the same way. It's just all the same. So, you know, so yeah, man, I totally, totally agree with you. I think that
what ends up happening is they end up getting into the day-to-day and it just becomes the same grind every day and they forget like what they want to talk about. Most people do that from the conferences all the time too. I talk to a lot of people at conferences and they're all excited and they love the fact that what we're doing and that sort of thing. And then you get back and it takes 2 months to get them to a demo because they're just so overworked. So, no, I mean, you're right. It is definitely it's got to be a shift of mentality. Someone's got to lead that charge. I think there's too many sales trainers out there, too many BDC trainers, too many this, too many that, but not enough people actually looking at business climate and saying, hey, what if you did this? What if you just thought differently? And the ones that have, there was a dealership in Wichita that, you know, they started this whole non-commissioned sales team and they were doing these funny videos on YouTube and they came up with this little catchy that they were making car buying fun again and all this. And I mean, he sold it now and a great friend of mine, Scott Pittner, I think his last name is Scott Pittman. You know, he's gone on to do the Lord's work and work as a missionary and all that stuff, which good for him. That was him and his wife's calling, but he really understood experience. And I saw that early because, like I said, I've been rocking the pavement for 18 years. But on the upside of
that,
too,
I think there's a lot of opportunity for that. Because if you just tweak your operation, like you said, you know, what if you did that and you had a mini track in the back? I mean, dude, that would make you totally different than every other Jeep dealership and, you know, that's anywhere close to you, right? And, you know, how much more business would that generate? How much just more activity would that generate just by a small tweak? So, yeah, man, no, right on. Again, great to have you on the show. I'm super glad that we did this. I'm gonna put you on the spot and invite you back. Would you come back on the show and do a part two?
Absolutely. Would love to.
Awesome, man. So let's talk about that in the future. But yeah, thank you so much. We'll definitely make sure to put your contact information in the notes. So, you know, definitely look there for the listeners. But how can people get in touch with you, man?
Yeah, you know, find me on social media, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Just look for Owen Moon. You'll probably be able to find me pretty easily. If you want to email me, why don't we go with owen@fixedopsdigital.com. Owen@fixedopsdigital.com, or you can always call me. I use the hashtag just a call away, and I kind of embraced that mantra over the last 3 or 4 years because I've get dealerships that will call me, you know, 10, 11 7 o'clock at night or 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. So always have my phone on and available, 605-376-0195. Always can just shoot me a text as well. If I'm on a call or in a meeting, I'll definitely get back to you as soon as possible. But, appreciate the time, guys. This was exciting. I felt like there was a great conversation, and look forward to doing it again down the road.
Awesome, man. Thank you very much. That's all we have, folks. And as usual, we'll talk later. So you made it all the way to the end. Thank you so much. Just want to remind everybody to go to the website at dealertalk.biz. Leave us your questions. Give us your feedback. We really appreciate it. And we'll talk later.